The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome to The Big Show. This gorgeous, gray Wednesday edition of the Dory Monson Show. Got a lot of stuff, man. We have you covered in a bunch of different directions. Like in Seattle, where Antifa, Black Bloc, Black Lives Matter, there have been incidents caught on video of attempted murders of police officers. The same thing is happening down in Portland. We will take you there and talk with Victoria Taft, who's been covering that story down in Portland. Also, what's happened to the 19-year-old stepson of the former Democratic state lawmaker in Olympia who swung a baseball bat at the back of a police officer's head? So we'll keep you completely up to date on all of that. Brock Heward's going to join us later this afternoon. The insanity of this Major League Baseball pullout of Georgia. We talked about it at length yesterday, but we're in some really perilous times right now. And you're going to see all of this kind of converge during today's show. Because what you have is a political party that is desperately lying with a president of the United States, Joe Biden, who's been talking stuff about this Georgia law that would require voter ID when you cast a vote. And so Joe Biden has been just purely lying. You're going to cost people mostly minority-owned businesses. Atlanta has more minority-owned businesses than any major city in the country. And the lies that are being told by Joe Biden and the Democratic Party about this voter ID law, comparing it to Jim Crow laws, which is just absolute insanity. It's costing Georgia $100 million. And again, it's primarily black people, business owners, who are going to lose out on this money at a time when they are trying to get an economic recovery. As that city, like so many others, has been hit so desperately hard by the COVID economic shutdown. And so they're moving the Major League Baseball game out of Atlanta, which is 51% African American. And they're moving the game to Denver, Colorado, which is 7% African-American. And why are they doing it? Well, because they want to punish the white people. None of this makes any sense, except for the larger picture. And that is the agitation that we talked about yesterday. Charles Barkley talked about that with the audio we played on the show yesterday, that there is a very desperate movement right now to get some race wars going in America. And it's incredibly sad, but it's also insidious and evil. And so we're going to keep you covered on this throughout the afternoon. As I said, we've got all kinds of breaking news that we're going to be following throughout the day as well. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So as you heard in our local newscast right here at the top of the hour, there's going to be now a private investigation of Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer because of an encounter, and this follows with what I was just talking about, because of an encounter with a black newspaper delivery guy at 2 a.m. a couple of months ago. Now, the guy who's going to be leading this this inquiry into what happened is former U.S. Attorney Brian Moran. And I like Brian Moran. I think this is a desperately stupid investigation, and it does support what I was just talking about, that we are doing all kinds of things right now to try to get some race wars going. And, you know, we're already seeing that. The groundwork is being laid with the trial of Derek Chauvin, who was the cop who had his knee on George Floyd. And no matter how it turns out, whether Chauvin is convicted or if there is a reasonable doubt that his attorneys can prove, no matter how it turns out, there will be rioting that ensues, almost certainly, after the Derek Chauvin trial. Here we have an effort to bring down Ed Troyer, Pierce County Sheriff. 35 years on the job, has never once had a reasonable accusation of racism against him. But now he supposedly is a racist because he saw a car going down, I think you know the story, in case there's somebody who doesn't. 2 a.m., Troyer's awake at his home. He sees a car going down the street, reportedly with the headlights off, driving slowly. He's on the job 35 years, and so his instinct is, I'm going to see what's going on. I've done that. I don't know if you have. There are some people who just call 911 and wait for the cops to show up. I'll give you the most recent example. It was about a year and a quarter ago. It was in the late fall, early winter, just over a year ago. Our next door neighbors were out of town. About 1 a.m., I saw a light go on at their house. And so I called 911, but I also made sure that I was properly protected so I could defend myself if anything went down. But I walked over because if there was somebody making a quick bust in and dash off, I wanted to be able to identify them or perhaps even intervene. Intervention would have been very unlikely, because it's a dangerous thing to do, both legally and physically. But some people just wait for the cops. Some people actually intervene. If you are a 35-year on-the-job police officer, your instinct's probably to see, why is this car driving up and down my street with the headlights off? Okay, and that is when Ed Troyer encountered this 24-year-old young black man who was delivering newspapers for the Tacoma News Tribune. And when Tacoma police rolled up, several agencies, cars from all over the South Sound, because Ed Troyer radioed in that he threatened to kill me. And here was a little bit of the body cam audio where the newspaper delivery guy said that his biggest crime was being a black guy in a white neighborhood.
Okay.
I'm a black male in a white neighborhood, and I work.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
okay?
It does.
No.
Okay. And by the way, it's not a white neighborhood. Where Ed Troyer lives, it is very much a mixed-race neighborhood. Now, the guy's upset. His name's Altimer, the delivery guy. He's upset. I don't blame him for being upset. You're doing your job, 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden you have somebody who's asking questions. But as I've said, I don't blame Troyer for checking it out. Troyer is the sheriff of all of Pierce County. And he was out there. His instinct said, well, this could be a guy who's trying to break into houses. Something that happens far too often is you're able to get garage door openers that can quickly scan through thousands, tens of thousands of frequencies. Until it clicks on one that'll open a garage door. So Troyer's out checking all of that out. Troyer says the guy said he was going to kill me. In a later interview with Tacoma Police and in an interview here on the Dory Monson Show, Troyer said, well, I think the words I used were the guy said, I'm going to take you out. It's possible that the guy said that. I don't know. You don't know. The guy is very agitated. He's very angry. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that he said something along the lines of, I'll take you out. Who are you following me around? Again, here's the tone.
Okay.
I'm a black male in a white neighborhood, and I'm working.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it does.
No.
He's following me.
Okay. Again, I don't blame Altimer for being upset. I don't blame Troyer for watching out for his neighborhood. You know, he says he did not make a threat.
Nobody made no threats. Okay. That's a lie. If I made a threat, I'll tell you, but I didn't. I didn't even go to him angry. I just wanted to know why he was following me.
Okay. And so the evening ended with them saying, okay, you're a newspaper delivery guy, and you can go on your way. Altimer, by his own admission, he never identified to Troyer that he was delivering newspapers, but in all fairness, he didn't owe Troyer an explanation. It might have diffused things quicker, but he didn't owe Ed Troyer an explanation as to what he was doing out there. He's a free man in a free country. So I don't blame him for that. But the evening ends with them determining there was nothing wrong happening, and they let Altimer go. And Troyer went back to his home and to his bed. No harm, no foul, right? Wrong. It's 2021. Everything has to turn into a highly charged incident. So what you had here was 2 months later, the Seattle Times gets hold of the story. They decide to blow it up because Altimer was not pursuing any kind of charges or allegations against Ed Troyer. It was over with. But now the Seattle Times wants to make it into a big racial incident, okay? Here's what's interesting about all of this. Ed Troyer, as I said, 35 years, no allegations ever of being racist in any way. He's worked with black ministerial organizations in Tacoma, in the Hilltop neighborhood, buying toys for tots at Christmas time, food banks for predominantly BIPOC communities in Tacoma. He has been a very philanthropic guy in very mixed race parts of his region. His wife is Pacific Islander. He's got adopted kids. He has foster kids. He has a black grandchild. This should be over and done with. But there are powerful forces that are trying to turn everything these days into racial wars. I've told you, in King County, let's do a little compare and contrast. King County has a sheriff. They're our equivalent of Ed Troyer. Her name is Mitzi Jo Hanknik. I have, in 26 years on the air doing this radio show, I have only twice declared, because of fantastic sources that I've had, I have only twice declared a public official to be incompetent, over their head, unqualified to do their job. One was Seattle's former director of transportation, Scott Kubley. I was proven to be 100% accurate in my assessment of Scott Kubley. I had sources who had sat in on meetings with Scott Kubley, people I trusted, and they said, man, Dory, this guy, he doesn't know what he's doing. And of course, Scott Kubley ends up ripping off the taxpayers millions of dollars, funneling money to bicycle organizations, had absolutely no idea how to run SDOT. And we told you about it a couple of years before Jenny Durkin, when she became mayor, one of the first things she did was she got rid of Scott Kubley because he was so incompetent. So that was the first time I declared somebody to be incompetent. And then about 2 years ago, I again had fantastic sources who had sat in on meetings with Mitzi Jo Hanknik, and they told me unequivocally that this is somebody who is completely over her head, to be the sheriff of King County. And we've seen what's happened. Mrs. Johanknick is a proven liar. She promised me during her campaign she would always come on this radio show to answer questions, no matter how difficult, how challenging. Her predecessor, John Urquhart, made the same promise, and John Urquhart never refused an interview. And I was tough on the man. I like him a lot, but I was tough on him when there were tough issues. But he lived up to his word. Mitzi Johanknick, one time, comes on this radio show, and I ask her about providing at hundreds of thousands of dollars, taxpayer expense, personal Uber, King County Sheriff detectives and their cars to drive Executive Dow Constantine everywhere he goes, including to bars with women at night. And Johanknick was so upset that I asked the kind of question that us government watchdogs should be asking. Her assistant, Liz Rocha, I've told you the whole story, screaming at Nicole in a side studio. Liz Rocha, who makes $180,000 a year, is Johanknick's chief of staff because she's a personal friend of Johanknick. She makes $40,000 more than her predecessor. So you have cronyism. You have a sheriff who is a liar. You have all the other things that we have chronicled over the years with Mitzi Johanknick. She just yesterday told Channel 7 that her job is more difficult as sheriff because she is gay.
Do you believe you are held to a different standard than your male predecessors?
I really do believe that. I think I have an additional battle being a member of the LGBTQ community. I think that on top of that, it is prime time for whatever reason to try to run existing leaders of law enforcement out of their job.
Okay, now that's absolute nonsense because unquestionably, undeniably, her sexual orientation was a tremendous asset in her getting the job because here in our region, just like an unqualified Ed Murray got the job as Seattle mayor because people like to check off boxes. But Johanknick, who's completely over her head, incompetent at the job as mayor, who has a litany of proven incidents where she cannot run the sheriff's office, they're not coming after her. She claims that they are. They're not. Why? Because there's no racial angle to be exploited. With Ed Troyer, there is. With the Adam Fortney, they're trying to get him thrown out as Snohomish County Sheriff. There's a racial angle to exploit there. Just want you to be aware of exactly what's happening here, because these are very powerful forces, and it's very dangerous. And we're going to continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes because it's putting cops' lives in danger now. But as for now, that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, just as in the pursuit of this chaos, a Seattle police officer had a baseball bat taken to his head. Down in Portland, some attempted cop-murdering Antifa guys were turned loose by the DA, who is part of this effort to create the racial chaos right now. We'll take you to Portland next. Don't miss this. It's really important what's going down right now. You're one of the few people, because you're listening to this show, you're one of the few people who's in the know about this. We'll continue with much more next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been talking about for a long, long time, one of the greatest problems facing the left-wing cities in America. Seattle and Portland may be at the vanguard of this, although there are a lot of other cities, Philadelphia and others, where George Soros has pushed through the most radical district attorneys. And what's happening is some really bad dudes are getting released after committing crimes. And an old friend of our radio show, Victoria Taft, you can read her work at pjmedia.com, where she has a piece up right now about an Antifa rioter who was freed by the DA in Portland. And wait until you hear what happened next. Victoria Taft joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Victoria, always great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you, Dory. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Just watching with shock and awe what's happening to our, you know, previously beautiful great cities of Seattle and Portland, where we seem to be walking in lockstep with each other these days.
Yeah, they're racing to the bottom together. Isn't that nice? Like they're just holding hands and jumping off the cliff saying, hey, I don't know what's at the bottom, but let's change something just for the heck of it.
Which one of us is Thelma and which one's Louise?
Exactly, right?
That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so tell me about this. A violent Antifa Black Lives Matter rioter appeared before the Multnomah County DA there in the Portland area. First of all, what was he facing charges for?
Well, initially, they caught him on video, and a cop in the crowd saw Malik Muhammad starting to taking a bat or some pipe and attacking the Oregon Historical Society. Now, this really upset Old Line Portland because, you know, don't go after our museums, doggone it. We'll shut them down. Thank you very much. While they had stood mute all this time, or at least they were doing stuff, if they were saying anything, it was sotto voce to Ted Wheeler and nobody else heard it because they were really pretty much silent during the entire days of Antifa riots. But now they caught him. They wrapped him up, rolled him up, took him downtown, and then proceeded to let him go. And this was in October of 2020. But so they let him go in for that. I'm sorry. I missed the best part. Best part is that he had a loaded 9mm pistol, apparently that he did not have a license to conceal. So there's that. And actually discharged the weapon. They let him go. Well, then we find out yesterday that this same guy has been accused of throwing Molotov cocktails, explosive bombs, at police officers, nearly killing two cops. This is not the first time this has happened with Antifa, but it is one of the more celebrated times, if you will. And indeed, they had to go find this guy with the help of the feds, no thanks to the Multnomah County DA's office, mind you, to Indianapolis to locate this bad actor. And find out that he, you know, maybe can be extradited back to Portland to face charges of attempted murder on two police officers, which occurred in September of 2020. So not that they should have known every bad act this guy did, but the Multnomah County DA's office let him out and set him free after he'd tried to kill two cops. But I'm not sure they knew that.
Well, that's a big question, and the police footage is linked up at the piece that Victoria has written at pjmedia.com. So, and the reason this jumped out at me, Victoria, is because last fall, about the same time frame, we had yet another riot here in Seattle, and in some very clear, explicit video, there's one of these black bloc guys, and he has a baseball bat, and I don't know if you've seen this footage, but he takes a full swing at the back of a Seattle police officer's head.
Yes.
It was a helmeted head.
Thank God.
But yeah, I mean, without question, I think this officer would have been killed if it weren't for the helmet. And it turns out as they're investigating this guy, they, you know, recognize his clothes, and they find the baseball bat that's in the video trying to kill a police officer. And this is such an integral part of what these groups, you know, that Joe Biden says is just an idea, but they're out there actively trying to kill police officers. Mm-hmm. And it is, how we've fallen so far so fast is absolutely beyond me.
Remember when cops were there to protect and serve, and now they're just murderers waiting to find their next black victim. And indeed, when I went downtown recently in downtown Portland, I walked around with my daughter and I thought, oh, let's go on a Sunday morning when I'm staying down there and let's just walk around and do the Portland dystopia tour. And guess what happened? You're not going to believe this, but there was a Black Lives Matter protest underway, a march, a very peaceful march. And I came upon, thank goodness I had my mask on, because if they recognize me, I'll end up like Andy Ngo and Mike Strickland. And so the bottom line is the guy said, I said, well, hey, what's going on here? What are you guys doing? And he says, oh, we're here to celebrate the life of, you know, fill in the blank guy. And I said, well, who's that? Yeah. And he was a murder victim. Well, the murder victim in this case that Black Lives Matter was celebrating was a guy who'd just shot two people in a gangland shooting and it would not lower his weapon for the police when they arrived at the scene, at the behest, by the way, of the neighbors. So so this person is said to be an innocent victim of police brutality and murder, when in fact he was a bad actor and a bad dude, as so many of them are.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if you're aware of the background of the baseball bat attacker here in Seattle, but he's the 19-year-old stepson of a Washington Democratic legislator.
That's right.
He is part of a family that, you know, was making laws in our state, and they, you know, almost literally have police officers in their crosshairs right now. And I'm telling you, what you just described of the guy who wouldn't lower his gun, I truly believe that the evil leaders of these groups, Victoria, I think that they are agitating for that. I think they want a 2021 version of Kent State where the police will finally be pushed over the line, there will be gunfire, and then the complete meltdown of our region, of our cities, can just accelerate at nuclear pace. I truly think that's what the leaders of these organizations are agitating for.
Yeah, they're agitating for chaos, and if that includes police firing at their bit players that they continue to roll up and get as part of their group, then fine. They're fine with it. It's just chattel. These guys mean nothing to them. It's all about the chaos, and chaos is good for them. And then they'll move on to the next issue, which is another lie about something else. I mean, I was just going, you know, the Chauvin trial, I mean, is just another example of some lies being told on the part of the people in power in some of these agitation groups. And I mean, when the knee isn't on the neck, when the knee's on the shoulder, when the knee's on the back, and all of a sudden the story changes, not everybody's going to hear that, Dory. And, you know, you're going to have a lot of people in the streets just doing the chaos thing and lighting stuff on fire and doing that when they haven't even bothered to get themselves educated on what's going on in the case, the actual case, which shows that there's a hell of a lot of reasonable doubt there.
Well, yeah, and we have a president of the United States who is comparing showing voter ID to Jim Crow laws, which is just one of the most ignorant, outrageous things. But everything is being manufactured to try to create some kind of incident that's coming down the road. And I think everybody needs to be very, very aware of this because
it's
we're rolling
happen.
Up on some scary times.
I agree. After this George Floyd case, you know, win, lose, or draw, there's going to be a riot. I expect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what's going on in our sister Rose City, Portland. Victoria Taft, again, if you want to see this particular piece with the police video, go to pjmedia.com. You can also hear Victoria on the Adult in the Room podcast. Victoria, always great talking with you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you, Dory.
All right, Victoria Taft joining us from Portland. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Gary Numan? Is Gary Numan?
Yeah. On the nose.
Nice. Wish Wyman was here so I could put a weapon on him. So yesterday, our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, he came on to tell us about State Senator Rebecca Saldana, who was participating in a Zoom meeting for the Transportation Committee that she's on in the Senate. And she was breaking a bunch of distracted driving laws. She had the video on in this Zoom meeting while driving in the front seat of her car. She had earbuds in, which is also illegal. And so Chris Sullivan busted her. He didn't say, you know, this is a huge deal, but it kind of is. Because, you know, I have three daughters. I have a wife who's on the road often. And I'm scared to death of distracted drivers who are out on the roads with my family. And we have seen, you know, if there's a car that's weaving on I-5, generally they're either under the influence or they don't have a Bluetooth, they're talking on their phone. So Rebecca Saldana, she's busted by Chris Sullivan. She released a statement after we got off the air yesterday. And man, this is infuriating. This is a Democratic state senator. So here's her statement. As a working mom, those are her first words. So right away, it's like, oh, I am a working mom, so I'm busy. So maybe that's why I had to make a bad decision. As a working mom, I face the same struggles many parents in Washington are facing, including trying to make my work schedule fit with my duties as a parent. Unfortunately, I made a choice today that was not in compliance with the law, and for that, I apologize. But she, you know, sets it up as, I'm a working mom, and that's tough. Is it tougher than for working dads? I don't know, but that's the way she's setting it up. Then she says, I agree we all need to become better drivers. So that includes myself. Placed in a difficult position today, I made the wrong choice in not disabling the automatic video function on my phone while driving. Placed in a difficult position today. The difficult position was you can either follow the law or you cannot. That's not a difficult decision, especially if you are the author of some distracted driving bills in Olympia. Then she says, I sincerely regret having made this choice, and I do not condone distracted driving or the violation of our state's traffic laws for any reason. But then get to this, the last line. I have supported legislation about penalties for distracted driving. I must be subject and accountable to that law and all traffic laws. Accordingly, if I receive a citation for this driving infraction, I will pay the fine. Oh, wow. She'll pay the fine if she receives a citation. Well, tell me, is State Patrol going to track her down since it's on video? And are they going to give her the infraction? But is she supposed to sound noble for that? If I get the citation, I will pay it. Yeah. That's what you do when you get infractions. It was just everything about that statement was so broad, so poorly done. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then a boffo, Fastest 15, coming up next.